This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هو رسول صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So, few housekeeping notes before we get into today's lesson. This is week 8, right? And as you all know, this is a 10-week course. Next week, we're going to do a double class, inshallah. That's March 5th, bi'idhnillah. So we're going to do weeks 9 and 10 on March 5th. Sheikh Hanif on March 12th is going to do his weeks 9 and 10. And then it's done. So there's going to be 2 weeks left in March. There's going to be a break, inshallah. April 2nd, which is the first Tuesday of April. So it's 5 Tuesdays in April, the 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, and the 30th. Inshallah, we'll be going over Kitab As-Sawm min Sahih al-Bukhari. All right? So we're going to do the Book of Fasting from Sahih al-Bukhari. Those are the 5 weeks in Tuesday, inshallah. And those classes will be between Maghrib and Isha, which at that time, it's approximately 7:45 to 9 o'clock, that kind of range, just so that we're clear on what's happening, inshallah ta'ala. All right? So that's what it's going to be looking like until Ramadan, which is, subhanAllah, I think a little closer than we can really imagine, subhanAllah. So we're going to use April, bi'idhnillah, which is the end of Rajab and the majority of Sha'ban. Is right there in April, so we're going to be using that to get ready for the month of fasting. Any questions about that before we go on? All right. As it relates to what we're covering, the beautiful, perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, last week we started with Al-Hamid and Al-Majid, and I intended to move on. As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions 5 names together: Hamid and Majid, Al-Kabir, Al-Azim, and Al-Jalil. He mentions 5 names together, and he briefly describes what these names indicate. However, Al-Hamid and Al-Majid are very important for us to really get a grasp, not just a grasp, but to have a thorough understanding of Hamid and Majid. Why do you think that is? Before I say anything else, I mean, we covered that they don't come in the Quran as much as many of the other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majid is only in the Quran twice, for example. But why are these? Why are we giving so much attention to these two names? Anybody. Don't be scared, by the way. If you're wrong, I'll just tell you you're wrong and we'll make it right, inshallah.
Hamid is about being praised.
No, I don't want to know what the names mean exactly. I want to know why they are so important for us to know. All right, I'll give you a hint. Salat.
Praise.
All right. In your salat, do you mention Allah's name, Al-Aziz, Al-Mutakabbir?
But not all the time.
Right, I mean, if you're reading that verse in the Quran, yes.
Does it have to do with the hadith of Qudsi, I believe it was?
Which is? Qasamtu salata baini wa baina abdi nisfain. I've divided the salat between myself and my servant 2 halves. Okay, so that idea is there, but the names are not mentioned there. Yes?
You mentioned these names when you're doing
tashahud. Jazakallah khair. Well, after tashahud, which is a salat al-Ibrahimiyyah. Right, so in your salat, every salat that you make, you're going to say what? Innaka hamidun majid. Every salat that you make. So it's very important. I mean, you're saying that at least 5 times a day in the second jalsa, or if it's, Yeah, your second sitting, unless it's Fajr. You're going to be saying, Innaka Hamidun Majid. Oh Allah, you are Al Hamid, you are Majid. If you don't know what you're saying, you simply cannot get what you're supposed to get out of Salat. And a lot of people talk about how do we get khushu' in Salat. Oh, when I start Salat, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that. One of the first things, I mean, there's things that you do before Salat that will help your khushu'. There are things that you do during the Salat that help your khushu'. One of those things is having a thorough understanding of what you are actually saying. Because if you don't know what you're saying, if saying Innaka Hamidun Majid is the same as saying Innaka Ra'ufur Rahim, Innaka Azizun Kareem, if all of that is the same to you, it's not going, or you might as well be saying Chinese because you don't understand any of it, then the Salat is not going to have the meaning that it's supposed to have for you, and you won't be able to concentrate because you don't know what you're saying. And so there are certain aspects of your Salat, like Surah Al-Fatiha, for example, that you really should have a thorough understanding of, right? Because that's going to be repeated no matter what else is recited in your prayer, no matter what else you recite in your prayer, or if you don't recite anything else in your prayer, which is not recommended, but your Salat is still valid, even if you only recite Fatiha. And your Salat is invalid if you don't recite Fatiha, even if you recite from Baqarah to Nas. So the Fatiha is there. It's going to be in your Salat. You need to have a thorough understanding of that. Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. Knowing what that means. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. And now we've covered the name Sami' before. Now we're covering the name Hamid. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida is right there. And we covered the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these things should help you grasp a more thorough understanding of the prayer. That's why Al-Hamid al-Majid, I was thinking to move on to Kabir today, to move on to Kabir and Azim. As for Al-Jalil, Al-Jalil, the correct opinion is not a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that supports Jalil being a name of Allah. Other than the hadith of Abi Huraira and At-Tirmidhi, which we talked about at the beginning, is not an authentic hadith. The one that has the long list of Allah's names, the 99 of them, that hadith is not authentic. For those scholars who mention Al-Jalil as a name of Allah, most of them are actually doing ishtiqaq or deriving the name from how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself as being Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. So they say he is Al Jalil because of that. But majority of the scholars do not view Al Jalil to be one of the names of Allah. As-Sa'di did. I don't think Sheikh Uthaymeen followed him in that, even though he was his sheikh. And the legend of Da'ima of Saudi Arabia, they also said that it was the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, there's the evidence for it is weak. And as we discussed time and time again, we only affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he has affirmed for himself. But because of there being a difference of opinion amongst the scholars on the issue, and because of the fact that there were early scholars of Islam named Abdul Jalil, or maybe not even calling them scholars, but the point is there were those who had biographies in the books of the Salaf whose names were Abdul Jalil, though it was very infrequent. Yeah, it was rare. If somebody was named Abdul Jalil, they wouldn't need to rename themselves. Not like somebody named Abdul Kaaba, for example. You would have to tell that person, no, you need to change that name. If somebody has, and we'll talk about this next week, inshallah. We'll defer because we need to cover next week. We're going to cover Al-Kabir and Al-Azim, inshallah. And we'll cover various issues related to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we may not have covered thoroughly enough, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, because there's a number of things. Like, for example, Mufti, when he came, he actually made a ishara to this or pointed it out. And that is that some names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholars say that they are only perfect when combined. And so they has to be two names together for it to be considered to be a name of Allah. So we talk about that. Like al-awwalu wal-akhir. So they would not accept somebody being named Abdul Awwal or Abdul Akhir. Those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to be paired. Al-Qabid al-Basit. So they wouldn't accept Abdul Basit as a name. But we'll talk about that later, Shaykh. So yeah, inshallah, next week. Because that's not necessarily a correct opinion, it's just an opinion, and we do need to be aware of some of those issues, inshallah. So today we're going to do a recap, a brief recap of Hamid and Majid, and then we're going to go into some of the things that we were not able to cover last week. Tayyib. Bismillah. All right, so to recap what we covered last week, I left that blank because you're going to fill that in, inshallah, and you're going to raise your hand because all of you know the answers, of course. Allah says, I have divided the prayer into two halves between me and my servant. My servant will receive what he asks. When you say what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah says what? Right. Hamidani Abdi. My servant has Hamidani. Alhamd here is praise. And we'll talk a little more about that. And when he says, when you say Ar Rahmani Ar Rahim, Allah says what? Athna Alayya Abdi. And Athna in this context is. Okay, so we said extolled, lauded, yani, lauded. I'm sorry. Sorry? Continuously. Yeah, right. So there's a repetition. Yeah. A repetition of hamd. The repetition of praise. And now, because we're talking about English, praise obviously is not enough to capture the meaning of hamd. What's being left out here? Love. Love and shukr. That's true. That's true. But especially that component of love. That the object that you are praising is what you actually love. So and normally the way we use praise in English, you don't actually have to love that thing, right? All right. Maliki yawmiddin, what does Allah say? Huh? Majadani abdi. My servant has glorified me. And we glorified is pretty accurate as a translation for tamjid, because you usually glorify, the way that it's used in the English language, for attributes of supremacy, majesty. And this is what a tamjid refers to. And when you say iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, what does Allah say? Every time you pray, this is happening. So you cannot not know this. You can't not know it. The reason why I'm saying it is not to say that if you don't know it's haram. But what I'm saying is that there's a different prayer that happens when you know that you're talking to Allah, Lord of the world, and He's responding to you. It's a different type of prayer. You get an audience. La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. What does Allah say? Hada baini wa baina 'abdi, wa li 'abdi ma sa'al. This is between me and my servant. This is between me and my servant, and my servant will have what he asks for. Tayyib. What does that mean? It's between me and my servant. No, it means it's split. Iyaka na'budu is for me. Iyaka nasta'in is for my servant. Iyaka na'budu. That goes with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu. Why? Because these. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Hamidani. The Al-Hamid is Al-Habib. He is the one who is loved and praised. And so you love him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, athna alayya abdi, he's extolled me. Why? And here with Rahman ar-Rahim, those attributes of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about and inspire one's hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maliki yawm al-deen, majadani. Why? Now you're in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You revere him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the arkan of ibadah. These are the essence of worship goes back to what? Love, hope, and fear. And so these 3.5 ayahs, Allah says are for him. The rest of the surah, Iyaka nasta'een. You're asking Allah actually for his aid in doing those things. In worshiping him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyaka nasta'een. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. That's an ayah. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. That's an ayah, by the way. I know how the mushaf is written right now, and because the Shafi'is say that al-bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is actually an ayah from Fatiha, and the scholars of Azhar, they were the ones that were in the Mujamma' Malik Fahd at the time when they determined that that was going to be the standard print of the mushaf. All right, and it was Shafi'i scholars, but the majority of the scholars of Islam, based on this hadith too, and this hadith is a proof for it, they don't consider Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the very beginning of Fatiha to actually be an ayah. You still say it like you do with the rest of the surahs. All right, so that's 3.5. Iyyaka nasta'in, a half an ayah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, an ayah. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, an ayah. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim, an ayah. So that's 3.5. قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I have split the salat between myself and my servant, 2 halves. Split it in half. Half for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and half for you. 3.5 ayahs for him, 3.5 ayahs for the servant. طيب. واضح? Clear? All right. Questions for lesson 7. Father Sheikh. This is 8, huh? Yeah, this is lesson 8. Nah, this is 8. Sorry.
Question for lesson 8. Give one reason why the Salata Ibrahimiyya concludes with the divine names Hamid and Majid. Mention at least 3 ways to make dua to Allah through your knowledge of these 2 names.
Anybody want to take a stab right now? Go ahead.
First one.
Go ahead.
You started the salat by praising, extolling, and glorifying Allah, so we end up in the same manner.
MashaAllah. All right.
That's for the first one.
Okay.
Somebody else will get the second.
Nah, inshallah. 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 We'll discuss at the end. JazakAllah khair. MashaAllah. All right. Fadl Sheikh, read our recap from last week.
Recap number 1. The number of times each name has been mentioned in the Quran.
طيب, how many times has Al-Hamid been mentioned in the Quran? Yeah, you look like you want to. You look like you want to say it, Muhammad. No. See, we need a mic upstairs because the women definitely know. It's just the brothers, man. Brothers don't do their homework, huh? طيب, take a stab. Yeah, father. 17. That is correct. 17 times. As we mentioned, the majority of those times, more than half, 10 times, the name Hamid has been mentioned. Which other divine name? Al-Ghani. Right. 10 times with Ghani. 3 times with Al-Aziz. 1 time with Al-Wali. 1 time with Hamid. And 1 time, I'm forgetting. Hakim. Nah. Jameel. All right. And Al-Majid, how many times? Twice. Right, Al-Majid twice. Both times. Okay, Fadl Sheikh.
The 2 names have been mentioned together once in the Quran. English translation of that verse, they said, are you amazed? Are you surprised at the decree of Allah? May the mercy of Allah and His blessing, His barakah, be upon you. Ahlul Bayt, people of the house, people of the household. Indeed, he is praiseworthy, meaning Hamid, and glorious, Majid.
Now, this is actually important for you to understand for something that's coming later, inshallah. So I do just want to go back over the pronouns here. They said, who's they? The angels, right. And the angels, these angels were sent for what purpose? Informing the wife of Ibrahim about the birth of Ishaq. This one is Ishaq. Right. Okay. Play. Mashi. Fadl Sheikh.
Compare and contrast the two names?
Yeah, that's coming now. So this is because that is... That is one of the most important things for us to understand is the combination of these two names, all right? So that compare and contrasting that we did, we're going to recap that now. Fadl Sheikh.
Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, Alhamd is of two types. One, praise for his benevolence, his goodness, his giving to his servants, which is a form of gratitude.
Right. So in other words, when something good happens to you, you normally say what? Alhamdulillah. This is a form of showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that He has given you, for something that He has facilitated for you. You're saying Alhamdulillah. So this is a form of gratitude. That's one type of hamd. And that's based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions. Nah.
Two, praise for what he deserves himself due to his noble and perfect attributes.
In other words, now you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is who he is. And that's a different type of hamd. In other words, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with the most perfect attributes, the most beautiful attributes, You feel in debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that there's nothing that compares to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you praise him because of that. So your salat is hamd, is a form of praise. All of your worship actually is a form of hamd. You are expressing praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for who he is, not because of something that he did. Clear? No. That's as it relates to Al-Hamid, just so we understand. It'll be a little clearer as we go, inshallah.
Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, says, the name Al-Majid points to Allah's limitless attributes of perfection. Limitless attributes of perfection, such that they are incalculable. You can't count them up. You can't enumerate them by... because we are his creation. It also points to his infinite actions and unceasing good.
I want this to... This was difficult to translate, by the way. But I want you to take that in. Because Ibn al-Qayyim, what he's... And he uses the word sa' and wasir. And he's... What we get from Majid is this vastness, expansiveness, this something that is just unfathomable by the creation because of how vast it really is. So we really can't take it all in. This is what we're supposed to be understanding from Majid. All right. Go ahead.
In short, Al-Hamid is the one loved and praised for his perfect attributes.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was Ibn Abbas, but I could be mistaken, who described Al-Majid as Al-Hamid as Al-Habib. Okay? That idea that Allah, that Al-Hamd should make you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, and when you understand that he is Al-Hamid, it should inspire that feeling of love. Nah.
Al-Hamid is the one loved and praised for his perfect attributes, in addition to his actions, laws, and decrees.
All right, so now when we look at Al-Hamid, we're looking, what we're getting out of that is more of a perfection, beauty, right? Whereas Al-Majid, go ahead.
Al-Majid is the possessor, the owner, the only owner of true glory and majesty, the magnificent one of boundless qualities.
Right, we get it. You see that contrast now. Inshallah, hopefully, is clear. Right, there's no doubt that there's overlap, but the hamd, go ahead, is
perfection and beauty.
Right,
majd, expansive, means wide. It covers everything, vast, majestic, and glorious.
All right, I hope that's clear. We did cover this last week, but maybe not in the exact same terms. So when you say innaka hamidun majid, there's nothing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes that are left out. Nothing. Because we're talking about the perfection and beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities and attributes, and we're talking about how limitless they are. Boundless. Nah. I got you, Sheikh. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. What we're going to do now is we're going to that's the end of the recap, except that there was a point that I wanted to repeat from last week, inshallah, just because a few people did ask me about it, and I wanted to read what Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Kathir said. So, further.
Manifestations, that is how something is shown.
Right. So we talked about this last week briefly. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ. This is after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, has judged between the creation, and some of them will go to Jannah, and others will go to the fire. تَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. So you وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Now read that, Shaykh.
You will see the angels surrounding the divine throne, the arch, glorifying their Lord with his praises. The judgment between the people will be made perfect justice, and it will be proclaimed. It will be said out loud. Praise be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, Lord, the Lord of the world, Rabbil Alameen.
So Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, لما ذكر تعالى حكمه في أهل الجنة والنار وأنه نزل كلا في المحل الذي يليق به ويصلح له وهو العادل في ذلك لا يجور أخبر عن ملائكته. Okay, so here Ibn Kathir says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his hukum, his ruling, for the people of the Jannah and the people of the fire, the inhabitants of Jannah and the inhabitants of the fire, and that each one was put in the place that they belonged, that was appropriate for them. وَأَصْلُحُ لَهُ وَهُوَ الْعَادِلُ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَا يَجُورُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just in any of those decisions that he's made. He does not do any injustice. And it's important for us to understand, once we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, that Allah azza wa jal does not do any injustice to anyone, then the believer submits at that point. Even if we don't understand, you know, how could a loving creator put some of, you know, his creation in the hellfire, if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, then that will be enough for you to push off some of those shubuhat. And then these have very easy answers, walhamdulillah, and some of them quite detailed and convincing for those who need it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs about the angels, min hawli arshihi al-majid, that there are angels that are surrounding his arsh, his glorious throne. يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُمَجِّدُونَهُ وَيُعَظِّمُونَهُ وَيُقَدِّسُونَهُ وَيُنَزِّهُونَهُ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ وَالْجَوْرِ. So, Ibn Kathir is describing these angels that are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. And it's important for us to understand the difference between tasbih and hamd, right? Alhamd here, we're affirming these perfect and beautiful attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where's tasbih? How do you translate subhanallah? Not you, Shaykh. How do you translate subhanallah? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, glory to Allah. That's a little closer to, that's actually closer to hamd than it is the tasbih. What does that mean when you say subhanallah? How perfect is Allah? Okay, are you affirming something for Allah, or are you negating something from Allah? You're actually negating with tasbih. You're negating imperfections, right? So you would, if you hear something somebody says that's negative about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you say Alhamdulillah? Even though Alhamdulillah is like implicitly you're saying no, Allah has the perfect attributes and you shouldn't be saying that. No, you say Subhanallah. Subhanallah, because what you're saying is Allah is free from that. You're negating any imperfection. So at the end, if you think about it, the time or the place in the Quran where the most names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned in succession are where? In Hashr, right? Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu al-malik al-quddus, huh? Al-salam, al-mu'min, al-muhaymin, al-aziz, al-jabbar, al-mutakabbir. What? Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Right? Because now, after you know all of this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can somebody ascribe any partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah. You are now freeing, not you're freeing him, but you're declaring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of any imperfections. Whereas alhamd is to affirm the perfect and beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get it? So يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. Yani, they are mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any imperfection, one of those imperfections being injustice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree and all and that is just. يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. And they are affirming the perfect qualities for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why saying Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, is so weighty on the scales. طيب نعم وقد فصل القضية وقضي الأمر وقضى الأمر وحكم بالعدل ولهذا قضي بينهم أي بين الخلائق بالحق. So at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his ruling with justice, and that is why it is said قُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ, that the judgment between the people will be made with perfect truth. Okay, so then he says وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَيْ وَنَطَكَ الْكَوْنُ أَجْمَعُهُ نَاطِقُهُ وَبَهِيمُهُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ بِالْحَمْدِ فِي حُكْمِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ. That is, why does it say and it will be proclaimed? It doesn't say they will say, it will be said. Which is what kind of verb? It's passive. Okay. Which means that the sayer, the proclaimer, is not being mentioned. And that's for a reason. And that's because the entire creation, those who can speak and those who cannot speak, animals and otherwise, will say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. They will declare his praise in his ruling and in his justice. ولهذا لم يسند القول إلى قائل بل أطلقه أو بل لم يسند القول إلى قائل بل أطلقه فدل على أن جميع المخلوقات شهدت له بالحمد. We mentioned the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim last week where he talks about why this is a passive verb فهدف فاعل القول لأنه غير معين أو معين بل كل أحد يحمده على ذلك الحكم. And that's because it's not specific. Everybody is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الحسن لقد دخلوا النار وإن حمده لفي قلوبهم ما وجدوا عليه سبيلا. They entered the fire and the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in their hearts. They found nothing that they could say against Allah. Even the people of the fire will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this is because Allah has just shown us, everybody, all the proof. They understand.
SubhanAllah, not to get too philosophical, but it reminds me of the example that Plato gives of the guy that the people that are living in a cave and they're looking outside the cave and all they see is these shadows moving and they don't shadows are two dimensions or three dimensions? Two dimensions, right? And so they see this and they believe that this is the reality of whatever is happening outside the cave. And they don't realize that all they're actually seeing is a shadow of the reality. And so subhanAllah, Yawm al-Qiyamah is a different dimension. And the people will see what it really is. Nah. Wallahu a'lam. Fadhil Shaykh.
Dua. Narrated. عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى ليلى
ليلى لا ليلى
كعب بن أجرة met me and said, shall I not give you a present that I received from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام? عبد الرحمن said, yes, give it to me. I said, we asked Allah's messenger.
Yeah, the English is a bit misleading here. He said, shall I not give you a gift that I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, he's letting him know right away that he's going to tell him a hadith. Nah.
Yeah. Yes, let me have it. Mm-hmm. He asked the messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how should one send salat upon you, the members of the family? For Allah has taught us how to salute you in the prayer.
It actually should be how to send peace upon you, a taslim. Right, because that part they already knew, which is a tashahud, right? So a tahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu. Why I can't even think of now? Nah, tahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa taibat. Assalamu alayka, ayyuha rasul wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That part they had already been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, ya ayyuha ladina amanu, Allah subhanahu wa taala says in the Quran. صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They knew the سَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They knew how to give the salams to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the salat. But they didn't know how to send the salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is what he's asking here. How do we do this? How do we do the salat upon you? Nah.
For he said, say, O Allah, send your salat on Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Wa ala ali Muhammad. As you sent your salat, kama salaita ala Ibrahim, and on the family of Ibrahim, wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid, you are the praiseworthy, the glorious. Allahumma, O Allah, send your blessings on Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, as you sent, kama barakta, as you sent your blessings on Ibrahim, and on the family of Ibrahim, for you are the praiseworthy.
Allahu Akbar. Tayyib. Let's talk about something that is absolutely, to me, it's amazing. And then we get back to this. Tayyib. Where is the... I should read this again. Read this again.
The number of times.
The two names.
The two names have been mentioned together once. In the Quran.
And once in the Sunnah. Okay. Where once in the Sunnah? In the Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah that we just covered. and once in the Quran, قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله رحمة الله وبركاته عليكم أهل البيت. Who is this referring to? The house of who?
Ibrahim.
Did we make the connection yet? So look, you're asking Allah, and your Salat al-Ibrahim is called the Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahl al-bayt, the family of Ibrahim, ahl Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Huh, hold on. Did you catch it yet?
No.
Okay. All right. Did it? You
said that.
You got it? Well, oh, I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to that. Right.
The name specifically.
Okay. Here, the angels are making dua for barakah to be in the family, on the family of Ibrahim. And then they say that he is Hamidun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about himself that he is Hamidun Majid. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them, he taught his ummah, to say when asking for barakah to be upon him and his family, to say that Allah is Hamidun Majid. Just like with Ibrahim. You understand? All right, we're going to go over some of the meanings, inshallah.
Yeah, I mean,
no, it's coming. It's coming. Go ahead.
No,
nothing. Love, Mustad. Love, Mustad. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
go ahead. Go ahead, please.
So the praise and recognition that Allah gives to Ibrahim.
Yeah.
The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us to give that same thing to him and his family.
Ask for the same thing.
Well, not exactly. I'll explain that in a minute, inshallah. So, all right. Here we have, oh Allah, send your salat upon Muhammad and on the family of Muhammad. What does salat mean? Salat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? What does that mean?
Praise.
Praise. Where? Praise how? What does that mean? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Blessing is coming. That's barak. Baraka is much closer to blessing from an English perspective. No, we do know. We do. So, okay. So, Abu Aliya, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the tabi'i, he said that salatullahi ala abdihi thana'uhu fil mala'il a'la. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises his servant amongst the highest company. Meaning, this means those angels that surround the arsh. Alright? So this is when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send or to yusalli ala nabi, the salat upon the Prophet, then you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention the beautiful characteristics of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, those praiseworthy characteristics. You're asking him to mention them amongst the mala' al-a'la. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his servant, as we know, then he tells Jibril. Jibril tells the angels. And then that love is spread throughout the land. I mean, the point is that, let's take a step back. Most people, whether they will admit it or not, they enjoy hearing people say good things about them. Right. So think about the pleasure that one gets, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying good things about them. Right? So this is not something that we should take lightly. Here's how you can get that. Here's how you can get the angels to, one second. Here's how you can get the angels to make dua for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yusalli alayk. If you are waiting in salat, if you have made wudu, you've entered the masjid, and you're waiting for the salat, the angels will say, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma arhamhu, Allahumma aghfir lahu.
So they'll mention our names among the angels?
They'll mention whoever that abd is waiting for salat. Yes, they'll pray.
Aren't gatherings like this the same?
Yes. That's
it. Nah.
Jazakallah khair. So Sheikh Abdul Basit, which we'll talk about next week, he says, aren't these type of gatherings when people gather in the house of Allah? Yatsluna kitab Allah wa yatadarasunahu bainahum. Studying the book of Allah amongst themselves. And as we mentioned before, this whole study is an extension of studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is understanding the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they are mentioned in Revelation, that the angels will surround them, that mercy will encompass them and actually penetrate the gathering. The mercy. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention them amongst those who are close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. And here, the family of Muhammad, Al-Al, when mentioned by itself, includes the followers, not just the family. When sometimes you might hear somebody say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa atba'ihi wa ma'ina, then each word is going to take its own meaning. But Al, by itself, also includes followers. As evidenced in Surah Ghafir, وَيَوْمَ تَكُمُ السَّاعَةِ أَدَخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. And when the hour is established, it will be said, or enter, the followers of Fir'aun, not just his family, but those who followed him upon that batil, then it will be said to them, أَدَخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ, the most painful torment. Yes.
You mentioned last week that that's the side kick against the Shia and Ahlul Bayt. Did that also?
That was a different. That was the ayah from Surah Hud. Okay. Right.
Would this also?
La.
Okay. La. Amen. A doctor.
Yeah.
But question concerning what you just said: if it includes all of his wives, doesn't that go against the Shia?
Yes. Yeah, but I'm saying that that's not proven from here, because this is a point of contention.
Okay.
Right now, they would say, or somebody else might say, no, it's just his family. It's not, and this wouldn't prove anything. But the ayah does. The ayah proves that the wives are from the house, because it was saying, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt. Well, ahlal bayt here is the wife of Ibrahim. Hi. Okay, say your salat on Ibrahim and on the family of Ibrahim, for you are the praiseworthy, the glorious. Okay, all right. You ready? We got a problem here. Ready to hear it? All right. Who's better? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me rephrase that. Who is more virtuous, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Ibrahim alayhi salam? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why would the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask Allah to send Or why would he ask us to make this dua, and he was making this dua in his own salat, for the salawat and the salam and the barakat to be upon him like it was for Ibrahim, if we're better? Yes.
Was Ibrahim alayhi salam was he the most virtuous before Prophet Muhammad?
He was the greatest of the prophets after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nah. Well, before chronologically, after in terms of rank. Yes.
I'm thinking of the ayah, Wabi Hudahum Muqtadi.
Wabi Hudahum Muqtadi. Yeah.
The Prophet, he followed his method, followed the way of Ibrahim.
All right, I'll make it short for you. All right. La. because there's more than 10 different answers to that question that have been given by the scholars. However, the one that Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah says is the most authentic, and it without a doubt is, and Allah knows best, is that when you compare something to another thing, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are saying exactly like it. So, for example, if you said, let's just say there was a child who was neglected by parents, and the other siblings were treated better, right? Had that happened to anybody? Everybody might have. So you said, I just want to be treated like the rest of the other children. Does that mean you want exactly what they have, or you want something that's more befitting to who you are? Right? What we're talking about is the common denominator, not necessarily the kafiyah or the actuality of that thing. So you're talking about the common denominator. I mean, send that salat, send that praise upon me. The same acknowledgement that, like Ibrahim was acknowledged, okay, and that's why in some of the narrations of this hadith, by the way, subhanAllah, there's about, I don't know off the top of my head, but there's several authentically narrated formula for this for the Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah, right? So, for example, this one says, "Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad." كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Several of them just say, كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Some of them say, for example, بَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدْ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Which is authentic. طيب, what do we do in this scenario? We should say this one sometimes, and that one sometimes, so that none of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is forgotten or neglected. All right, so you should mix it. Yeah, when there are authentically, you know, various authentic narrations. When they are not, then you stick to the authentic one. All right, so here we're talking about what the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was acknowledged, and he was acknowledged fil alameen. Ibrahim was recognized by Jews, Christians, the mushrikun of Quraysh. He was praised, right? By all. And so, nah, by everybody. That's why they call him the Abrahamic faiths. Alright? So the idea is that Ibrahim was given that recognition. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also telling us to make that dua. And there's a lot more that can be said. But notice that innaka hamidun majid. All right. What is alhamd? What is hamd? What kind of it's praising because of what? Perfection and beauty. Qualities of perfection and beauty. And majid, the vastness of those, expansiveness of those particular. Okay, and what you're asking here, when you're asking for salawat, you're talking about praise because of good qualities, because of the perfect, the beautiful qualities of our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And when you're asking for those barakat, okay, wa barik, which is those blessings, that which is kathratul khayri wa dawamuhu, is what you're asking for. You're asking for a lot of good, and that it is continuous, that it is repetitious and continuous, which corresponds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majd, because of the vastness of those qualities. So it's like you're saying, give the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam this praise because you are Hamid, and give him the barakah because you are al-majid. All right? So the names correspond. If you go back to the tafsir of the ayat, you may see some of that, inshallah ta'ala. All right. Yes. Yeah, the Sayyidina does not come in any of the narrations that I've seen in Bukhari and Muslim and otherwise. I haven't seen Sayyidina actually mentioned in the text. And because of that, if it was better for us to say that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have taught the companions to say that. Because he was the Sayyid Waladi Adam, as he said about himself, and a Sayyid Waladi Adam, Wala Fakhr. I am the master. I am the best of the children of Adam. And this is not being said. He said, Wala Fakhr. I'm not saying this because I have, you know, pride. Right? But just so that we know what his station really is. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So had it been better, he would have taught us that. All right. So you're going to work with the partner, except that Abdul Basit messed this whole thing up right now. Read the question.
When do we say the Salatul Ibrahimiyya?
Okay, so when is the Salatul Ibrahimiyya? Which part of the Salah? Is it in the beginning, middle, end, three quarters through? So it's at the very end of your Salah, except that you can make dua afterwards, obviously. But that's the end of the part of the Salah that you must say, right? So you say it at the end of the Salah, right? Keep going.
Is there any connection between that and the beginning of prayer? Explain your answer.
You see how he messed it up? We can't even work. We can't even do work with our partner today.
She has a question.
She has a question. MashaAllah. So what is the connection then? What's the connection? Right. Because in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the very beginning of your prayer, you are starting out by saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That's the Hamd Maliki Yawm al-Din, which is the Majd. Fa Hamidun Majid. And there at the end of your prayer, Hamidun Majid. Wallahi, this deen is Azeem, subhanAllah. And when you see those connections, you do start to see. But hopefully it's something that sinks in even more how our deen has been preserved and that is divine. SubhanAllah. All right. Fadl Sheikh. This is the last slide, by the way.
Benefits. Those who know that Allah is Al-Hamid, Al-Majid, will love Allah and revere Him.
Which are very important pillars of our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are essential matters in your worship, that you love Allah and you revere Him. How do you get that from Al-Hamid Al-Majid? Huh? Loving Allah is inspired by what name?
Al-Hamid.
Al-Hamid. And revering Him from Al-Majid. Naam, Shaykh.
Praise those who know that Allah is Al-Hamid Al-Majid will praise Allah abundantly.
Right. They will praise Allah abundantly. And that's because He is Al-Hamid. And He is... So what does Al-Hamid mean if we would use one word to translate it? Praiseworthy. Whether people praise Him or not, He is praiseworthy. He is deserving of praise. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised Himself in the Quran. And there are how many surahs start with Alhamdulillah, by the way? La. Tayyib.
Four,
mashallah. Are you, tell me which four?
An'am.
Al-Fatiha. Uh-huh.
Fatir.
Saba. And you just missed the one that Abdul Basit mentioned. Al-Kahf. Right. So five. Five surahs begin with Alhamdulillah. Okay? And Alhamdulillah, the phrase itself, is mentioned 23 times in the Quran. And Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in several different circumstances. And we can look at these three categories. They may help us to put things in perspective. So there are specific situations when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to praise Allah, to say Alhamdulillah. For example, after eating or drinking, what should you say? Alhamdulillah what? You know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hamid and He is Al-Majid. Yani, His hamd, you say Alhamdulillah, He gives you so much reward for praising him, which is amazing, right? So if you say, for example, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hada wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa, right? All praise to Allah who has fed me this. And who has provided it for me without any power or strength from myself. The Prophet ﷺ said at the end of that dua, من قال هذا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, that his previous sins will be forgiven. Hadith Hassanahu Shaykh Albani rahimahullah, Tirmidhi, collected by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and Albani rahimahullah said that it was a Hassan Hadith. I mean, which shouldn't be strange for us to recognize that these mundane activities, things in fact that you have to do, eat and drink, that if you remember to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is Al-Hamid, you remember to praise the praiseworthy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you of your sins. And many other times, subhanAllah, I mean, there's so many du'as that are based on hamd. Specific times. I would say that would be specific situations. Like when you sneeze. Huh? Like after salat. In the morning and in the evening, there are certain du'as that are, or adhkar, that are specifically related to alhamd. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa ridha nafsi wa zinata arshihi wa midadi kalimati. طيب, to the end of. Unspecified occasions, meaning period. The Prophet ﷺ said the most four beloved statements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are what? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. It doesn't matter with which one you start with, the Prophet ﷺ said. These are the most beloved statements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reality is that Al-Hamid, when we realize that Allah azza wa jalla is Al-Hamid, that He deserves to be praised, that there shouldn't really be a time when we're not praising Him. I mean, even the people of Jannah, they say what? Alhamdulillah alladhi sadaqana wa'adahu wa awrathana al-ard. All praise to Allah who has fulfilled His promise, who is truthful in His promise. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhhaba 'anna al-hazan. All praise to Allah who has removed any sorrow from us. These are people of Jannah who are still saying alhamdulillah. I mean, this should in the reality is, we've talked about this before when we talked about adhkar, that the tongue has an effect on the heart. And so even if you're forcing yourself to say alhamdulillah, like you, at some point, bi-idhnillah, it will actually come from your heart, which is why it's still good to say alhamdulillah, to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when it's really not from the heart. It's not to say that you're a munafiq. It's not, you're not talking against what's in your heart, but you're trying to force yourself to do what's, and this was the, many of the salaf, subhanAllah, and what comes to mind is the statement of Sufyan, rahimullah ta'ala, when he talked about the night prayer, which is absolutely, subhanAllah. 20 years, he said, 20 years he fought himself to pray at night. For 20 years. He said, and then I tasted the sweetness of it for 20 years. After that point, once he actually broke himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to get to that point, then it wasn't difficult to stand up at night anymore. It was something he enjoyed. But he fought himself. That type of perseverance, that type of sabr, you know, restraint. Naam, Sheikh.
Those who know that Allah is Al-Hamid, Al-Majid, will praise Allah unconditionally.
That means they will praise Him no matter what is going on. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the affair of the believer. Everything for him is good. Everything for the believer is good, and that's only for the believer. Only for the believer. Other people, they're going to have some difficult time, but the believer, everything that happens is good. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ Sarra shakara fa kana khayran lah. If good comes to him, shakara, which is part of, right, this is part of your hamd. He thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shows gratitude to Allah, and that's better for him. Wa in asabatu darra sabara fa kana khayran lah. And if difficulty comes to him, adversity comes to him, he's patient with that. He exercises restraint, and that's better for him. And so the believer says, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. As the hadith mentions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when something good came to him, he would say, Alhamdulillah aladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu as-salihat. That all praise to Allah through his grace. How would you translate that? Bi ni'matihi tatimmu as-salihat. All praises to Allah through his grace all good things come to a completion. Alright? Taif. Whatever. Inshallah, you understand that. Alright. And then he would say, but if something came to him that was displeasing, there are certain things that are naturally displeasing to a person. In fact, contrary to popular belief, Muslims don't like fighting. Kutiba alaykum al-kital wa huwa kurhun lakum. Kital, yani fighting, battle has been prescribed for you even though you dislike it. But this is not a turn the other cheek, totally passive religion, because you can't defend your religion like that. You can't defend what you own like that. Kutiba alaykum wa huwa kurhun lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. But even though you dislike it, right? So there are certain things that we naturally don't like. It's just the way it is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would still say what? Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Praise Allah under every circumstance, no matter what. And that has to be the MO of the believer. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally. No matter what happens, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now,
those who know that Allah is Al-Hamid, Al-Majid, will strive for purity of speech.
They will strive to be pure in speech. Now, I will give you a cookie if you can figure out where this comes from. Cookies on the computer. Go to the website and they'll put you some cookies. Where did this come from? Tell you, one of Allah's name is Al-Hamid. It's only been mentioned in the Quran once by itself. All of the other times Allah's name Al-Hamid has been paired with other names, except for one time in the Quran when it was mentioned by itself. And that's in Surah Al-Hajj. وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَهُدُوا إِلَى سِرَاطِ الْحَمِيدِ. They were guided to purity in speech, and they were guided to the path of Al-Hamid. So some of the scholars of Tafsir said that the path of Al-Hamid is indicative or a person who embodies purity in speech. الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, which starts with لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ هُدُوا إِلَى Sirat al-Hamid, and that they will be guided to the path of al-Hamid. So speaking with dignity, saying la ilaha illallah, and there are other things that tayyib could mean and that it does encompass, but it's important here. I just wanted to try to make that connection. Al-Hajj. Tayyib. Naam, Sheikh.
Those who know that Allah is al-Hamid, al-Majid, will humble themselves and attribute, give the source of their accomplishments to Al-Hamid.
Right, we can't get big-headed. Whatever you have that is praiseworthy, it comes from Al-Hamid. Whatever sifat, whatever attributes, characteristic qualities that people find praiseworthy in you, they come from where? Al-Hamid. So when people are praise, you say good things, but this, that, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Even, you know, it's important that we take some pride in the good sense in being Muslim and saying that. Saying Alhamdulillah. Even to people that don't understand what you're talking about. What did you say? That means that you know, praise is for God. I mean, people say this when they do, like, win a sports match or something. First, I want to thank God. Yes, we should thank God for everything, but that's really not that important in the grand scheme of things. And if non-Muslims do that, then what about us as Muslims? It's very important that we recognize that any of our accomplishments. And we should be very careful. We should be super careful not to attribute any of that to ourselves. Oh, I worked very hard for this. Now, one second. Because that is where arrogance creeps in. And you'll be left to yourself and left to your hard work. And you might get somewhere with that, but you're not going to get successful. You're not going to be successful with that. And that can lead to a whole lot of other, a whole lot of other evil, because it's self-reliance is not the cure. Reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cure. And recognizing that He is Al-Hamid, and any praiseworthy characteristics that you could possibly have, and anything that you could do that is possibly good, it has to come from Al-Hamid. Nah? What are you saying? Let's just knock this, because this is the last one, so let's just knock it out.
It pretty much answered the question.
Alhamdulillah.
Those who know that Allah is Al-Hamid Al-Majid will glorify His book.
Yes, will glorify His book. Why? Qaf wal Quran Al-Majid. Wal Quran Al-Majid. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, and His speech is Majid. And what does that mean? What do we say Majd means? Those qualities of what? Majesty, glory, vastness. And the Quran is that. The Quran is full of that which will inspire us to be in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so glorious that it cannot be copied. The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be copied any more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself could be copied. Waliyadu billah. It's not possible. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged the people during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that challenge remains to the day, and it will remain to Yom Kippur. Fatu bi mithli. Bring something that's like it, you can. Because it's Majid. And part of glorifying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow it and recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised certain people through this book. And other people have been put down because they've rejected this book. They want to be progressive. If you stick to that was written 1400 years ago, and you know, it's going to make us backwards. Waliyadu billah. This, if you want glory in this life, if you want honor in this life, it has to come through glorifying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to come through honoring His book. It has to come through following what it dictates and understanding it. Other than that, there's no success, and there's no honor, and there's no glory. Nah. This is the last one.
Lastly, those who know that Allah is Al-Hamid, Al-Majid, will praise those who deserve praise.
Nah, they will praise those who deserve praise. And that's important. That yes, Allah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. No doubt that all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't mean that we should not say good things about people when people do things that are good. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this frequently. Yes. With his companions. He told Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when there were a group of women who were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were asking him questions and they were speaking loudly, and then when Umar came, they rushed to cover themselves well and they lowered their voices. And he said, you all are hiding from me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has more of a right than that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, إن الشيطان إذا رآك سالكا فجا سَلَكَ فَجًّا غَيْرَ فَجِّكَ. And when the shaitan sees you, when the shaitan sees you walking down a path, then he takes a path other than the path you're on. I mean, he told Omar this to his face because he knew that Omar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is not something that's going to make him get what? Big in the head. And that's also important. لَابُدَّ مِنْ أَمْنِ الْفِتْنَةِ. يعني that you, if you do say something good to somebody, that you, that it's not, that you're not scared that it's going to go to their heads. This is especially important with your children. If they only hear from you, why you didn't do this, why you didn't do that, and they don't get the type of positive reinforcement that they need from you, they're going to look for it from somewhere else. And if they get it from somewhere else, then they're going to forget about you. It's curtains at that point. And so it is very important that you know, we give them due praise. I know there's like a movement against giving trophies for everything. Like, you know, there's like a fifth place trophy now and all that type of stuff. We're not talking about, participation and all that. Trophy for participation. No, we're not talking about that. Yeah, there are certain people who excel and they should be recognized for their excellence. But even them, they need to be taught, alhamdulillah. If your child recites Quran nicely, you tell them, mashallah, you recite the Quran, tabarakallah, your voice is very nice, alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah. You know, you teach them, but you let them know that they deserve that. So when Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what about a man who does good deeds? Wa yahmaduhu an-nasu alayh. People yahmaduhu, he said. They give him praise, alhamd, right, to the person. Yahmaduhu alayh. Like, does that affect the ikhlas? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min. This is the glad tidings that have been given to the believer in this life. They are the immediate gratification that a believer finds from doing the good deed. And he'll find his reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as there is ikhlas. The point is that there's no harm in mentioning the good that someone has done, if in fact what they have done is good. As for flattering people and all that, that's nonsense. And that's not something that we should get involved in. But when people do good, we should mention that they have done that good, and also recognize that that is from the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Hamid. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I do want to just mention that humbling themselves and attribute their accomplishments to Al-Hamid. Yani, we can find examples in the Quran. I mentioned last week the example of Qarun and how he said, "Innama utituhu ala ilmin," yani, indi. I was given this because of my own knowledge, everything that I have. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, destroy him and cause the earth to swallow him. That arrogance, as Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "Lola sitrullah alayya ma jalasana ahad." If it wasn't for Allah's covering me, yani covering my faults, nobody would have ever sat with me. Even though Ibn Uyayna was one of the greatest scholars of hadith, he would say nobody would have sat with me if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covering my faults. So the idea that a person praises you, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hamid, As-Sittir, has covered your faults from that person, and so they are able to see the good qualities that you have. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And we will meet next week, inshallah ta'ala, at 6:15, immediately after Maghrib, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. وياكم